Hello, everyone. I'm David Cross. I'm the Director of Program Management for the Cloud and Enterprise Security Division. And today, I'd like to talk about security. And more specifically, I'd like to kind of give you a little of a lap around Azure security. So this the area that we're going to focus on today in this session, right, is about security management. And it's all about how you build and have a trusted cloud. So Microsoft has been in the cloud business for quite some time. We have a lot of servers. We have a lot of services. We have a lot of customers. And I want to talk about how we build that trusted cloud in all four pillars. Now, when we think about pillars, and it's about our principles in a trusted cloud, it's first and foremost about security. It's the second, transparency. Third, privacy and control. And fourth, compliance. And I'm going to drill into each of these areas and give you some examples so you can have a good view of each one. So first, let's talk about security and secure operations. So we start off, like many people know, with a security development lifecycle. It's mandatory. We perform it around the company, and it starts from the design to the end-to-end. But the other thing I really want to drill into today is really about operational security assurance. It's not just about how we design software, how we deploy software, but it's also about how we operate it. It's everything from background checks to our processes to do we have dual home servers and how are they protected? The second thing, which is another a big principle for us from an operational standpoint, is that we have a red team. And this red team is something that where we perform real-world war games. We attack things at the network layer, the platform layer, and the application layer. We don't attack our customers. We look at our infrastructure because this is how we learn and identify where we may need to do more to detect, protect, or recover from potential breaches. And this is one of our fundamental philosophies in the cloud. And third is incident response. It's really how we operate a global 24/7 incident response service. It's part of our team. And so that whenever there's an attack or there's malicious activity, we know how to respond to our customers, and to our infrastructure partners in each of these areas. Now, let's drill down into a little bit more about assumed breach. So, of course, as I mentioned before, there's everything from the security development lifecycle and operational security, but assumed breach is the things that we do to assume that there could always be a compromise, there always could be malicious activity. So one of the things that we announced at RSA this past year is that the bug bounty program. We do this for the cloud, whether it's Office 365 or Azure. We also conduct war game exercises, internally. They're either are planned or unplanned in understanding where there may be changes or where there may be some potential risks and identifying those and then how we can detect and protect against those. And we do live penetration testing against our infrastructure. So customers can do this the same. We have standard operation procedures that you can do this yourself. But we take all of these things together, combine with our threat intelligence team in looking at where the risks, where's the telemetry, and what we may need to do to protect, detect, and mitigate against any of these operations. So when you think about detection, against activities and things like that, is that I want to break it down into what we do in Azure and what customers are responsible to do. And so one is that we're constantly looking at our infrastructure. So we're monitoring and analyzing all the security events. We collect all the events from our infrastructure VMs. We also can collect events from all of our hosts. And we use machine learning and other techniques to analyze these. We also use things like standard Windows Server event forwarding and monitoring. So we're using our machine learning and data science team and analyzing so that, hey, here's a malicious activity. Here's something that's unexpected. Here's some unusual patterns. And we alert and investigate these in real time. Customers can also do the same thing where we have a white paper on this, is that how you configure event monitoring and logging, whether to look at the alerts yourself, or even how you can export all these logs to an on-premise SIEM or security incident and event monitoring solution, where you can then monitor and analyze and build the reporting on this so that you can have the same confidence and capability that we perform in our infrastructure ourselves. Next, one of the fundamentals, of security operations is patching and update management. So at Microsoft and our team is every month, we're looking at the vulnerability reports, attacks, and telemetry, and researchers around the world, and understanding is what are the risks, what are the vulnerabilities, what patches are needed. So we identify and prioritize what's critical, especially for what's in the cloud, because some things may not apply to the cloud. Other things will be more critical to the cloud. And so that we have a monthly OS release, you know, for compliance purposes and for security purposes at our hosts and our guest VM layers, and knowing what needs to be deployed and rolled out faster and what is actually much more risk. Then we build upon that, you know, with our scanning tools so that even though we perform the patching, we actually go and validate and ensure that all of our infrastructure and our VMs, the patches have been applied correctly and they're in place. And if something's missing or if there is an error, we remediate that and we follow back up with each and every one of those. And of course, this ties to our compliance pillar is so that we have auditors that look at our inventory and our patching and validating that we actually perform the things that we confirm ourselves, but we provide that and those provide the reports and resolution summaries that our customers can look at to validate themselves. Of course, from a customer standpoint, for your VMs in applications, we recommend the same thing, is that you have a prioritized patch strategy. And we most importantly recommend you use automatic updates because that is the fastest and best way to stay secure and up to date. Next, antivirus and anti-malware protection. So we have 100% of our infrastructure that we have the Microsoft Endpoint Protection installed and part of our overall monitoring protection infrastructure so that we look at the any malicious software, any activities, and things like that, and we actually get automatic alerts and analysis whenever these occur. We recommend the same things for customers. So anti-malware is offered to customers today. We offer by default, the Microsoft Endpoint Protection is available to all customers in Azure, or you can also use third-party or partner opportunities of your choice if they better align with your decisions and your overall licensing. Now, another thing that comes up quite a bit is about access management and think about operations. So one of the fundamental principles we say in having a trusted cloud is that we do not have any standing access to customer data or applications. So no employee, no vendor, no contractor has persistent access to anything that our customers have or deploy in the cloud. And when they do have access, based on permissions and for support incidents or diagnostics, those type of things, is that when they do have access, we only grant it through least privilege. So we use a just-in-time and role-based access control system. So for example, if an employee needs to respond to a customer incident, we have to be approved using our just-in-time infrastructure solution. And it starts with multi-factor access, so that if I were to be approved, I have to use multi-factor authentication. I have to be approved through a just-in-time system that has to be approved by another person. And it's all based on roles and controls so that I don't have admin access to all of Azure or all of Azure storage, as one example. And every one of these activities are logged, audited, and reviewed, both automatically as well as part of our compliance requirements. So for example, if somebody is given admin access to a specific cluster and storage, but there was not tied to a just-in-time event, it was not tied to an employee elevating, you know, using multi-factor authentication, this is automatically logged, this is automatically alerted, and it's investigated. It also of things that are not tied to a TFS entry, you know, for a customer support incident. This is one of the things we stand behind and is part of our overall trusted cloud promise. Now let's drill into transparency a little bit more. So first and foremost, let's talk about how data is stored and it's used. So three things I'd like to really call out is that you choose where the data is stored and how it's replicated. We do not use your data, whether it's for advertising, for marketing, or share it with anyone. And last but not least is that when you choose to delete your data or leave the service, it's gone. There will never be access to it. And no one else can have access to it, and you can make these choices yourself. But I want to drill into this a little bit more. So just like Office 365 is that we do not store data outside of the customer specific region, you know, unless you choose that to occur, so that we don't transfer data between, you know, between Europe or the North America or to another geographically. You choose where it will be stored and how it will be replicated. Those are your choices. This is where we're very transparent about it, and this is something we stand behind very, very strongly. Building upon that, is about privacy and control. Now, data protection, there's two major areas when we think about data protection. One is in-transit data protection, and so that whether it's data that's coming to the Azure cloud or data that's going between data centers, is that how that's protected. And I'm going to drill into both of these in a second. The second is at-rest data protection. So how data is that is at rest, whether it's in a VM, whether it's an application, or in storage, is the options you have in protecting that data. And I'm going to drill into both of these. So first, data in transit. And so that we encrypt, you know, most communication between all of our data centers. So we using HTTPS, using FIPS 140-2 cryptography, you know, approved cryptography, and providing this protection. And so anything that goes to the Azure portal also uses SSL TLS or over HTTPS. So as customers in your applications, you can choose, you know, whether to use HTTPS or not. We recommend that you do this when calling the Azure APIs. But we understand there are some cases where you may have a legacy application that does not support SSL TLS, and you may not do. So that's your choice. But by default, we encrypt everything by default in transit. We also recommend that things that are doing between your web client and your or IIS and things like that, you also use HTTPS, and we support these things in Azure today. Now, let's drill down into encryption at rest. There's a lot more options here. So first, let's start at the virtual machine layer. So you have a number of different options. So one is that today you have the data drive so that you can actually use Microsoft BitLocker. So you have full encryption, you know, using BitLocker with your data drives. In addition, through partner solutions, we actually can use the system or the boot drive using BitLocker type solutions. And we're upcoming and announcing that we will have the public preview of the Azure Data Protection as well, using BitLocker as well, for both Windows and for Linux virtual machines. That will be in another session. Third in this particular area is SQL Server. So we have the TDE, or Transparent Data Encryption, is available that you can use, tied in with like Key Vault, and the Azure Key Vault is a very, very powerful option that many customers are using. And last but not least, in this particular area, you can use Encrypting File System. It's been around since Windows 2000. I worked on it myself many, many years ago, but this is still available to give another layer of protection based on your needs. Now, we've talked about generally about Azure Storage. So we have two things. You can actually, if you're doing the import and export, so we support the BitLocker encryption of the of your drives, you know, and part of the import export service, we support that today. And certainly the Store Simple appliance and its storage of data also uses encryption using AES 256 symmetric key. That's also an option we're using Azure Storage today. And then third is the application layer. This actually gets quite interesting. It's interesting because it's a very powerful one, is so that you can actually use client-side encryption, you know, with keys that you manage using Azure Key Vault or your own keys using the .NET Crypt API, so that you can actually have full control of your data, full control of your keys, full control of your protection, and you're encrypting data and then storing it in an opaque way into Azure Storage. And I'm actually going to demonstrate that in a couple of minutes. And then last but not least, of course, the rights management services, that SDK is available so that you can have that type of file encryption, you know, for your applications. And many customers are building solutions on that today. So I mentioned before about encrypting data, you know, using the Azure, you know, SDK. It's actually quite simple. I've got a little blob here. It's actually quite simple, but I'll show it to you. I actually like to walk through what you can do and how you can be in control with it. It's actually quite easy. So myself and colleagues, we actually went to, you know, kind of built up a little simple application here, keeping it nice and simple in Visual Studio using the Azure SDK. It's quite simple. I'm not going to go through a code demo here, but I'm actually going to show you the application that we built. and what you can do with it. So first, I'm going to go to the Azure Storage Explorer. So we have a storage account here. We're going to open it up. And we've configured this. And so you can see that today, we actually, I'll show there's, refresh it. We have no containers here. So we've got nothing in this, no containers in our account, but we're going to go create some. So I'm going to open up a little console application here. And saying, it's very simple based on the code you saw, saying, hey, do we want to encrypt the data here? Let's say no. Let's go create some data. And here it's going to go create a blob. It's going to upload it to storage. And let's go back to the storage here. Let's do a refresh. Okay, here's a blob. Let's open it up. So here, I love the Azure Storage Explorer. It's quite cool. We'll click the content tab here. Let's say the text view, because we made it nice and simple. We'll open it up and say, okay, hello world, right? And I can go edit it if I want. I can save it. And away we go. Save the content of the blob. And it's closed. To show that it's all working, it's a real demo. Open up the text again. There it is. Okay, so here is a non-encrypted blob that we just did, showing you have a connection to that. Let's go delete this. Oh, I can go back to the console application. I'll delete that container. And exit. Refresh. It's gone. Let's go try doing some encryption. So we're going to go back to the console again. This time, we want to encrypt. So I'll create something. Let's add a little phrase here. Azure Con demo. And right now, it's going to generate a key. And we're going to actually use it to store that in app config. Where it's going to put this in a blob, encrypting that blob. That blob will then be going to the storage. It's uploaded. We're then going to encrypt the content we just cured, the little phrase, and then uploading that to the Azure storage again. So if we go back to the console, we should be two blobs here, one for the key container and one for the content. If you look here, oh, here's two blobs. So we have the key blob here, and then we have the encrypted data blob. And so what's going to be very different is we go to the content here, same type of view. What should we be able to see? Nothing, because it's encrypted. So it's total control. Our application that we just created here, it's a very simple one, real console app. It can be created in just a few minutes, but you can develop and protect all your data just using the SDK and Azure Storage. So building on that a little bit, I want to talk for a few minutes about compliance. So compliance is that we have a framework. And first and foremost, it's about certifications. So that we have a team of experts, another team that works on here in the Cloud and Enterprise division, is that we're focusing on global, regional, and vertical compliance requirements. And building upon that, working very closely with all the engineering teams, the security teams like ourselves, is that we're doing continual evaluation, right, and benchmarking that, from an auditing perspective. And so one of the things I like to really call out is we're not just checking the box. We actually look at the requirements for customers, sometimes from certifications and compliance. We look at those requirements and making sure that we have the security needs are being met, from a global, from a regional, and from a vertical industry perspective. And then we also look at the greater security needs because we don't just limit ourselves in that way. We take the combination of both and we're always building them together. So we're always ongoing. We're always looking at that. We're saying that we're building a security and we can meet both things at the same time. And of course, as mentioned earlier, is that we have independent verification so that we have ongoing audits. We have ongoing verifications, by various third-party audit firms. And you as customers have access to these audit reports so that you can look at and understand and saying that, are we meeting your needs and actually validating that we're performing all the steps, we're performing all the actions and engineering that that you need, for storing data, running your applications, or performing your infrastructure, in the cloud. And I must say is that I know this slide's out of date because it's an ongoing list. It's continuing to grow. We've got a lot of experience around the world, and it's getting stricter and stricter, and we're continuing to build upon it. And we're using this as one of the major inputs, into how we build things in the cloud and how we operate the cloud. And Last but not least, I'd like to make an announcement that will be in another session. So one thing that's coming up is now is the Azure Security Center. So I didn't really demo all the things that you can do in Azure today, but we've heard loud and clear from customers, so we're opening up with a public preview, is so that with the Azure Security Center, is so that customers can have increased visibility control of all your resources, your VMs, your applications, so that you can identify things that are not patched, things that are not configured correctly, things that are at risk, or actually where you may be being attacked, whether it's a RDP or SSH type of brute force attack, and so that you can actually define policies that you then can configure and then monitor against it to meet all your requirements. So having that visual representation, having a policy that you can employ, and then getting the event logging and alerting that you can tie back into your other resources in the cloud or your other applications or on-premise. You can then download these event logs into your SIEM type of solution, so you can consolidate, put things all together, and having an end-to-end solution using the Azure Security Center as part of that. And we're going to continue to grow and build upon this so that you have advanced analytics tied to threat intelligence. So Microsoft, we have telemetry from Office 365, from Azure Active Directory, from the Windows Defender endpoints, and from all of our threat intelligence partners around the world, tying all this information together so that you can understand when attacks are occurring, they may be occurring against your resources, your applications, that you can respond, or you could prevent, you can detect and respond to each of these. And this is one of the things that that is being can be available and learned about in another session. So last but not least, I want to say that people want to stay connected. How can I learn more? How can I drill into more of these things? So first and foremost, I say start with the Azure Trust Center. That is our current location where you can actually find white papers and other content in detail on a number of the topics, from networking to anti-malware, storage, event logging, and our blog. So the Azure Security blog, it's kind of a Azure-specific one, so that when we've got updated content, updated announcements, things that you want to drill into more, or if you have questions, we want to meet your needs. So I recommend you please go to the Azure Security blog, and we can help connect you to the information and updates as they occur. So I want to thank you. I hope this gives you kind of a quick preview and a lap around Azure Security to help you understand where we're going with the cloud, and hopefully it builds the trust you're needing as you move your applications and services to the cloud.